A brilliant princess, an evil, scheming queen, a clueless king, and more come together for Shakespeare's fairy tale romance, Cymbeline. Or rather, Shakespeare's amazing Cymbeline, as it's running at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival this summer. This is an adaptation by Chris Coleman, a playwright that director Andy Park says finds a way to make what some call a problem play work.
You know, Cymbeline is one of those shows that most people will go their entire life without even hearing the title, let alone getting a chance to see a production. What Chris Coleman has done is he has taken a play that a lot of people think is sort of inaccessible or is considered one of Shakespeare's problem plays, and he has turned it into something that is absolutely madcap fun. It is delightful.
So tell me, why is Cymbeline a problem play to begin with? What's the problem?
Yeah, you know, that's a very good question. You know, it happened, Shakespeare wrote it later in his life, and it didn't fall into like a clean category like comedy or tragedy or history play that you typically put Shakespeare's plays. And it falls more into like a tragicomedy, or it's often called a romance. I think it's okay to call it a problem play or experimental, if you will, as long as you don't dismiss it. And I think that for too long, people have dismissed this play. And I think it's important to remember, Shakespeare was a seasoned professional by the time he wrote this thing. He was at the top of his game. And I think it's a fascinating play, and I am glad that the festival's tackling it.
You'd think that something like this would actually be more attractive to people today because we're used to more complexity in our entertainment, you know, the anti-hero who captures our attention and that sort of thing. So you would think Cymbeline would be having a great moment right now. And clearly Chris Coleman felt that way by doing an adaptation. How does one even approach adapting Shakespeare?
He has done it very respectfully, but one of the things that I think is so cool about what he's done is he's taken six actors and he has them play over 20 characters.
Ooh.
There are over 70 costume changes in this thing. It is absolutely remarkable fun.
Why did you want to direct this, Andy?
You know, a chance to work on a play, you know, it's fun because everyone is used to, like, there are certain titles that people associate with Shakespeare, but the idea that there's this hidden gem, the show that people really have not had a chance to see. I've never seen a production of it other than the one I'm working on right now. So it's really fun to work on a play like this.
That's really interesting. You've never seen it before. Does that hinder you or help you?
I think it's just fun. It's fun to be able to approach a show as it strikes you, as opposed to having the influences of all the other productions that you've seen.
So no baggage.
Right, exactly. And so that's given us some flexibility. For example, we've kind of set ours in sort of a 19th century American circus feel. When you walk into the theater, you definitely get the sense of a circus. So Cymbeline, the title is actually from, is the king. It's pre-Christian Britain. And so Cymbeline is actually the king. It's based on an actual king. And so he sort of takes on the ringmaster role.
Oh.
So you see him walking around as the ringmaster, and all of the other characters that are in the play, they take on a different aspect that you might associate with a circus. You're going to see a soothsayer, like a fortune teller. You're going to see a guy that like juggles knives. You're going to see sort of the circus equestrian, sort of the circus horse act is sort of referenced. And you just have these subtle references that throughout the play sort of coincide with the action. You know, the play has such a surprising twists and turns. It has you on the edge of your seat at times. And so that circus metaphor really seems to work well for our production.
Well, this is a six-person adaptation. Andy, tell me about directing that. What are the challenges and the joys of just having six actors playing all these characters?
You have to consider where they're going to be next. You always have to be thinking about that because, you know, there's actually only one female in the entire show, and that's Imogen, who is definitely the lead of the show. And then the other female character, the evil queen, is played by a man.
And oh, he's so, in drag, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And he has a beard. So it kind of is that bearded lady as well for the
more
circus.
More circus.
Yeah,
love it.
Absolutely.
That is really cool. So you really have to be, well, actually kind of the ringmaster yourself because you're controlling all these different things. Or actually the puppet master.
Yeah.
Because you are a puppeteer. You have to keep all these strings from getting tangled.
Absolutely. You have to think about people's track and where they're going and where they've come from. And you just have to make sure that you keep the narrative straight. And this is one of Shakespeare's more complicated narratives. Some people say it could be three different plays. When you see it played, it just really works. But trying to describe it has always been a challenge.
I guess that's why it's a problem play. You can't really give an elevator pitch for this play, can you?
Well, yeah, it's maybe a little bit more difficult than Two Star-Crossed Lovers. But, you know, what's really fun about this play is that a lot of Shakespeare's elements that from other plays, he sort of references in this one. It's fascinating how he brings back these really incredible aspects from other plays, and he turns them on their head.
So we're going to have some Easter eggs, really. Shakespearean Easter eggs?
Oh, yeah. But in ways that you can't fathom. You know, there's the scene where the two lovers, you think, are dead, and they're laying next to each other, except one of them is missing their head.
Oh!
And so in this case, the Juliet, or Imogen in this case, wakes up, believes it to be her one true love, even though it turns out not to be. But, you know, just this constant reuse of other aspects, things that he's done in other plays, but now he's going to just have a little bit of fun with it.
How are you going to manage all those different costume changes?
You know what? We have amazing people. I think every single actor has their own dresser, somebody that is basically running around. I don't even know what is more chaotic or would be more fun to watch, what's happening on stage or what's happening behind stage to help make everything happen.
It's like noises off at the Shakespeare Festival.
Absolutely. It is just one quick change after another, but it's also part of the fun of it.
Andy, tell me about your actors.
Yeah, I have an incredible cast this year, and it's one of the reasons that we can pull off a show that's this complex. But, you know, I especially think I should mention Nissy Sturgis. I mean, she is playing Imogen. Imogen is one, in my opinion, probably one of the greatest Shakespearean women characters of all time. And I'm not alone in that thinking. Even people that have been critical of the play, like George Bernard Shaw, others that have taken issue with this play, they agree that Imogen is just a amazing character.
What makes her amazing?
You know, she is such a genuine character, but she's also crafty and she's extremely, extremely smart. And she's really pushing the boundaries. You know, at the very beginning, she's in a marriage that she wants to be in, not one that's endorsed by her father, the king. And so it causes her husband to get banished and the play to ensue. But she really is that forward-thinking character that's really starting to make people question, you know, how royalty should work, how people should enter into relationships, whether it should be something that someone dictates for you or whether it's something that you can choose on your own. So she's a fascinating character. It's also could be considered a trouser play. It's another one of those plays, so he kind of borrows from earlier from that he did often in his comedies. And so, you know, it's also fascinating from that regard. But she is an incredible actor, Nissy is, and she is handling this role brilliantly.
And Nissy's husband, Jordan Cawftry, is in this production as well.
Yeah, you know, one of the really cool things about this show is how those characters are thoughtfully double cast. So the Forbidden Love is posthumous. It's a childhood friend that Imogen falls in love with and secretly marries against her father's will. Now, the Evil Queen, the stepmother, she has an oafish, clownish idiot of a son named Clotten.
And I love that.
And Clotten is also played by Jordan.
Oh.
So he has this great moment in the show where he actually has to sword fight himself.
That's some interesting blocking right there.
Absolutely. Definitely come and check Cymbeline out. It's a play that you may not get another chance to see. It's one of Shakespeare's, it's a great play, regardless of what people and critics may say about it. It is a lot of fun. This is it's an extremely funny production. It's also a moving production. And at the end of the play, you find yourself like, oh my goodness, why am I moved? This has been so silly and so crazy, but yet I'm feeling something that I didn't expect. It is a very wonderful play and I think a tremendous production that we're doing right now.
Andy, you have been directing at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival for several years now. Why come back again and again?
this is really a special festival. And, you know, maybe folks that haven't been to the festival for a while, or, you know, it's easy to take what's in your own backyard for granted. You're talking to someone that has been in Chicago for years and rarely goes to the lakefront. So it's easy to take it for granted, but really it is a cultural gem that this area has. And Illinois Shakespeare Festival is one of the highest regarded Shakespearean festivals in the entire country. It truly is a special place to be and a wonderful place to work.
Andy, I have a really off-topic question to ask you. In your past, you've been the artistic director of Shedd Aquarium.
Right.
What does that involve?
You know, it's directing live animal shows. In fact, when I leave here, I'm going to Chicago to direct another aquatic show at Shedd.
How do you direct fish?
Well, you know what? I'm dealing with more marine mammals, so I
okay.
Yeah. So I
the mammals
so
are smart.
That's helpful. But so the show I'm going to be doing has dolphins, beluga whales, penguins, sea lions, owls, red-tailed hawks. And did I say penguins? And penguins. Maybe I already said penguins.
Well,
but
penguins are awesome, so let's say it twice at the very least.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That is so cool. Which would you rather work with, penguins or people?
People definitely have more versatility, I would say, than the penguins. But the penguins are a delight to work with, I have to say.
That's director Andy Park. Shakespeare's amazing Cymbeline is on stage tomorrow night at the theater at Ewing. And it runs through August 12th at the Illinois Shakespeare Festival. I'm Laura Kennedy.